Today's daf, Masechet Shviit Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Vov. And we're still holding at the bottom of Nun He Amud Beis, and we're up to the closing part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah has told us this fascinating halacha, that if you have something that is usur, forget about just the isur of the halacha legape, selling things of Shemitah, that it's lachem la'ochla, la'ochla v'lo l'schora, but there are other things that are also usur to do schora with. And those include not only in yonim of Shemitah, obviously, but the truth is, anything that would be an isur is considered to be, let's say you want to sell bacon or whatever, anything that is usur for you to sell. And we talked about a bechor that he took Mishta Beno. We talked about people that were trappers and they accidentally get these, they trap a treif animal. Are they allowed to sell it? And we talked about the question, Benogei HaShviyas, whether one person is allowed to go ahead and to collect the Shviyas and then give it to his child to go ahead and to sell it. Is it that it can't be sold or that you cannot take it and then sell it? So let's first take a look. What would be the mocker in the Torah for saying that you're not allowed to do schora for things that are usur b'achila in general? Not just halacha of Kedusha Shviyas and the utilization and the tfisa of the Kedusha of Kedusha Shviyas. So, if you take a look in the pasuk, we have two psukim, benogea tuma, tuma in the sense of the tuma of achila. One pasuk says, tumeim hema lachem. So after listing the types of things that are tame, and tame in the sense of achila, so then it talks about nevela, and it says, anosed nevatam yechabes begadav, tumeim hema lachem. So all of these meaning are tame for you, meaning they're usur b'achila. So then why does it say, tmeim yiyu lachem? That tmeim yiyu lachem seems to be exactly the same idea. Why do we have two psukim saying the same thing? V'chol asher yipo min nevelatam alav yitma, tmeim heim, utmeim yiyu lachem. I mean, that's extremely repetitive, isn't it? Therefore, it must mean like this. Echad isur achila, the echad isur, now our girsa is echad isur hanaya. That is a very bad girsa. The reason it's a bad girsa is because it's not true. There is no isur hanaya on all of these meaning. There's only an isur of doing schora, which we're trying to prove. And the Gra, in fact, changes the girsa so that it should read echad isur achila, the echad isur sechora. Why don't we say echad isur achila v'echad isur hanaya? Because obviously, if the Torah uses the word lachem, it can't mean it's usur b'hanah. That's a given. The very meaning of lachem, wherever we find the lachem, is to tell me lechol tzorchechem, that you can use it for whatever you need to use it for. So how could you possibly say it's usur b'hanah when the pasuk says it's mutar b'hanah? Therefore, it must be referring to a limitation on the lachem. You can be nena from it, but you can't do business with it. Therefore, echad isur achila ve'echad isur sechora. And the rule on this would be that kol davar she'isurei dvar Torah. So where we have something which the Torah asserted be'achila, that you're not allowed to sell. Asur la'asot bo sechora. But kol davar she'isurei bidivrehem. So let's say you're talking about chol of akum. Are you talking about, we'll see other gezeiros that we talk about that this refers to cutting of something with a knife of that an Eved Avodah Zara might use. That's the takana of chiltis, or at that time there was a takana about shemen, and so on. Those things where the rabbanan made a takana because of a chashash, let's say murias, where there's a chashash that they'll mix it with yayin nesech, all of those kind of things are usur to eat, but they're mutar lasot b'schora. Well, that doesn't make any sense. people buy and sell donkeys all the time, don't they? And donkeys are not mutter bachila. They're also bachila midiraisa. So why is it mutter? What about a chamor? No, a chamor, you're selling not meat. You're selling for work. It's not relevant that it's usher to eat it, is it? I mean, it's obvious that the point of the tmeim doesn't have anything to do with tmeim emlechem to work with. And therefore, why would there be an isser of schora since the Torah never ushered it except in the context of achila? Okay? That's the pashtas of understanding this. Now, there are those who hold that it isn't really based on deraisa at all. And that in reality, this whole thing is a takana derabanan. And it's a takana derabanan that we're worried that if people are going to be Isaac in these things, that you're going to actually have people come to eat them because of you. And you may come to eat them if they're hanging around the house. So we answer doing schoro with it. In that case, they have to answer that the point over here is that the rabbanon are not gozer in a case where 99% of the time and more, the chamor is not being sold for anything that anybody could possibly be nichshal in. And therefore, it's irrelevant because unachtohu gadol. Well, what about a camel? I mean, camels are bought and sold. Now, there certainly are people who eat camel meat. So why wouldn't that be usher? Because primarily a camel is also l'malachto gadel, and it's not a food. And in fact, I can tell you halacha l'maisa that Rabbi Hoshaya used to be no seva nosein in Aramaic, the way to say no seva nosein in the Gemara's level of Aramaic is Nasav V'Yahav. Nasav V'Yahav no seva notein, right? So he would be no seva notein v'adein murias. So murias was the regular fish sauce with pieces of fish in it. It's like a herring sauce. And the asered it midirabonan because the goyim would mix it sometimes with yayin nesach. Because of that, they said, don't eat murias. But he had this thriving business with all kinds of different flavors of murias, you know, mustard murias, cheese-flavored murias, and so on. And all of it was also for him to eat, but nonetheless, he was buying and selling. So that was because he relied on this halacha that we just said, that the only time that we consider it to be usher, to be doing business, is if it's usher midiraisa to be eaten. And Rav Huna also. Rav Huna was nasiv yoiv b'hadin chiltuta. He used to buy and sell chiltit. And chiltit is a kind of spice which is cut, needs to be cut. It's a resin, and it needs to be cut with a knife. So since the goyim used to cut the chiltis and sell it with a knife that may have been used for treifa products. So then the sharpness of the chiltis, together with the pressure of the knife, would have asered the chiltis. The rabbanan asered it in case they had used a knife that had been used to cut non-kosher things. Fine, but that's a rabbanan. And because of that, Rav Huna did a thriving business with chiltis. What exactly chiltis is, it's not so pashut, but it's translated always as asafoetidia. But the question is, the asafoetidia itself, I mean, you could speak to Indians about this, they love asafoetidia, but the asafoetidia itself, there are people that have an asafoetidia plant, which they claim, which is actually fairly common, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the resin, and the resin has to be cut with a knife. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So there's very strange halacha in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to take yirakot and sell them. But you can pick them and you can have your son sell them. That sounds a little bit weird. And it's also not at all clear what the Mishnah means. Because it seems to be saying you can be lokeach the yirakesadeh. Lokeach means you can buy them. But then it says, okay, so you can't buy them and then sell them, but you can pick them. It seems to me make a difference between picking them and buying them. Is that really the point over here in the Mishnah? Or is that just using the same word in different ways. Now, that's not clear. And in fact, there's a big machlokas about whether that is bedavka lo yalokeach yirakot sadeh umocher bashuk, avo loket ubeno mocher, or does it actually mean either lokeach or locate in either direction? Okay, that turns out to be a big machlokas, and it's going to turn out to make a big difference in the way that our Gemara ends up being understood. And it causes a lot of girsaot changes as well. So the idea, which we'll take it, the Rashi's approach to the sugya, is makes no difference whether you buy them or whether you locate them. That isn't the point. The point is that as long as it's not the same person who is buying and selling or picking and selling, so then that's not the iser of schira that the Torah aser. The Torah aser are doing business. And doing business, you generally don't have somebody else who doesn't have any kind of partnership with you monetarily to have somebody else do the work. I mean, what kind of business is that? You get something and then somebody else sells it and he keeps the money. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, even if it's your own son, and you say, okay, so you know you're happy to pick it and let your son go ahead and sell it. Doesn't matter. That is not the schora. It's two different people. And that's not the schora that the Torah asserts. And because of that, even that would be mutter. Okay, so that's the pashas. That's how the Rosh understands the Mishnah. We'll see that it's not that simple and that there are other completely different ways of learning the Mishnah, which does make a difference in which whether you're lokeach and you're locate. But first, let's take this pshat. Okay, so then, following up on that idea, we also have a brisa that says that you can't have a shutafut. So well, you have five people that go into business together. The five people go and they spend the day picking these vegetables. Obviously, we're talking about the kind of vegetables that didn't have an Isser Svichin. Maybe they had started growing the shishis, whatever. Remember all the different shitas we had where the Isser Svichin applies. There was no Isser Svichin. So they were malakhtim Yerek. And then one of them goes ahead and sells. That is the same exact thing as you're doing it yourself. I mean, just because you've got five partners doesn't mean that the work that one partner is doing is considered not to be the derech of doing business. That's the standard way to do business. So one guy does the picking, one guy does the selling. If they have a financial interest in common, it's as if the same guy is doing it. But in the case that you're selling somebody else's things, and you and he share no financial interest, so he picked and he allows you to go and sell whatever you want to sell. That would be mutter. What's more is if he is selling something that is mutter, then he can also, along with it, sell things that he himself picked. Why? Because that's called havla'a. And havla'a is mutter. So what I'm basically doing is, on this we do all the time on Shemitah, right? If we want to buy something that is kodesh, that is osur b'schayra. So let's say we have an esrog that is osur b'schayra. So we sell somebody a set of lulav and esrogim and so on, and we say, we're not charging you for the esrog, but this is a very expensive lulav, right? So that's called havla'a. So you're including basically the price of the esrog in the price of the lulav, but you're not making it on the surface that you're paying for the esrog. The same thing is true over here. I'm essentially selling this stuff. This stuff is not mine. I didn't pick it. I've got these other things that I'll throw into the deal. And those are the things that Alon was thinking about as he fell asleep. Those were the things that I had picked myself. And that you're basically including in the sales. So it isn't nicker that you're doing mamish business. That's okay. What's even a bigger chiddush is that you can have five brothers that are not in business together. And you can have them going ahead and being malakate. And one of the brothers, he doesn't do any work of being malakeh, and he just takes advantage of everybody else, and he sells. Now, over there, you'd say, well, anybody who sees that is going to assume that these brothers have a joint financial interest, and it's a partnership, right? And it's us, or no, we didn't ask her because it looks like a partnership. So we're very mako on these dinim of sechora. Omar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Bon. Now, hold on a second. There's a limit to how maker we're going to be. I mean, it's bilvad shelo yasu plitar. We can't have them open up a store on this basis, because then, for sure, it looks very suspicious. They're momish doing business, and since what's being sold is the production of this group of brothers, nobody's going to believe that this is not doing skara with shvias. But what do you mean that they don't set up a store? No, bevachelo yasu pleta. What it means is that he shouldn't have a location where he always sells from. Let's say this family always has a grocery store or a vegetable store, and they continue to sell out of that store during Shvias. I mean, come on. Who's going to believe that they're not still in business? Even if it happens to be that Lamaisa, the vegetable store closed, and it's just that some of the brothers are selling it as if this is a vegetable stand, they just don't want to set up a vegetable stand. You can't do that, because there really looks like it's Oisim Skaira. Some want to say, even if it's not a store that you use during the whole time, not Shvias, but it just means you should not have a kavua location and sell during Shvias. What you can do is you can set up a vegetable stand. So vegetable stands, people come out, you know, lemonade, 5 cents, and tomatoes, or whatever, right? So, okay, so that you can do, because that doesn't look like it's a serious business. But to open up a store, even if it's not a store that you have normally, even that would be usur. So that is a bigger chumrah. Now, Tony, hachen vani, shayam vasha yirakot bashvi'i. Once we're talking about this din of havla'a. So basically, you still have this today. You walk along the street, and you've got people that are selling hot soup, right? They're selling hot vegetable soup. Now, that vegetable soup could contain vegetables of Shvias, plus a lot of other very expensive ingredients. So therefore, if that's what you're in the business of, you're selling soup, and you would be mevashel l'yirakot. So then, in the price, lo yeh mechashev schara d'mei shvi'it, do not charge for the vegetables. What you can charge for is the wine that you put into the soup, is the oil that you put into the soup, the work that you put into making the soup, and if Richie were here, there'd be other ingredients you'd be putting into the soup, which would allow you to really charge for them, and so on. That you can do. And basically, as far as the price of the vegetables are concerned, those are muvla'in. So we're mavliya, the price of the vegetables, in the price of the soup. So you beferish tell people, I'm charging you only for my work and additional ingredients. And Rabbi La, he was mefaked leilin chaltaraya. They used to have people, just as they have today, that would be selling these waffles also in the street, right? So those waffles were made out of the chitim that included, the chitim were okay, they were not from Shvias, but there was a lot of other stuff. There was the oil of Shvias and flavoring or whatever. So he told them to make sure that you do not include any of those things that are Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvias. Don't charge for that. So say, I'm not charging you for the oil. I'm only charging you for my work and for the chitim. And then you could buy those Belgian waffles. Okay. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that if you are a professional trapper, or you're hunting, and you were trying to trap kosher things, and it happened to be that something that was non-kosher ended up in your trap, you're allowed to sell them. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're even allowed. Let's say you're walking along the way, and you see a very beautiful boar that if you shoot, you're going to be able to sell in the market for a lot. You can do that. You can take them as long as that's not your actual source of income. But that would be okay. So, the shaila is, how does that fit with the Mishnah that tells us in Sanhedrin what type of people are posel for edus and posel for dayon? So it says over there that Seichrei Shvias are posel. Why? Because since they are obviously not makpid on doing bad things in order to make money, and this is together in the Mishnah with all of those terrible things people who make their living from gambling or the Malave Beribit, and we include Socharei Shviit. So that means you can't trust a person like that because he's easily swayed by offering him a bribe, and he doesn't value people's ownership of things and money. They are also to be Edim, and they're also to be Dayanim. So Rabbi Yehuda said, when do we say that? That it's also for him to be an aid or a dayan. Bisman she'en lo umanut elohu. That's only where he's got no other source of income. Ava yesh lo umanut shelohu, harei ze kasher. If he has income, and this is just like a little side thing that he does, so then, you know, it's like not really something that he's paying all that much attention to. It's just that while he's selling other things, so he made the mistake of selling this too, but it doesn't mean that he's mamish ready to, like, concentrate on doing iser. Now, hechavida, how do we define that exactly? We're saying he doesn't have another umanut. So let's consider a guy who is yoshev u'botum u'malachto, koshnei shavua. This guy is a big batlan, and he does not do any work during the 6 years before Shviyas. Comes on Shviyas. Now this guy is busy. So he tchil mafshit yado, v'nosei v'notein b'perot shvi, b'perot avira. So if he has other things, yeshimo melacha acheret, so then he's kosher. But if not, he's pasul. But suppose he works all year round, meaning all seven, all shavua round, imaya yosheva sek melachto, kol shnei shavua. And then, kiman shabbat shvi'it, he's matchel mafshit yado v'nosev v'netin b'peras havera, in that case he would be kosher afo pisha enimo melocha acheret. Because what we understand over here is that, look, this guy is a businessman. Now, a businessman is not the point that he's looking necessarily, I need to make this money from this. That's not the point. A guy who works all his life, and now he's being put into a situation where, crumbs. And what am I going to do all day? He's not in it because he needs to make the money. He's in it because he's a businessman. You know, I mean, this is like the only thing that's available over here. You know, I mean, what? I'm not going to do business. What's I'm supposed to come in and what? I'm supposed to sit and learn in the morning instead of sitting on my phone and shouting at people. And I can't do that. So because of that, this is what's available. So in that case, he's not considered to be a soicher b'shvias because he's not interested in doing schora. He's only interested in the business. He couldn't care less what it is. If you've given some moon rocks to do business with, he'd be happy to do that. So this would be a kula appreciation of Rabbi Yehuda's din. And Rabbi Bab Bar Zavda and Rabbi Avo b'shem Rabbi Lazar say, yeah, you should know that we pass him like that. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, as it's repeated over here, b'masnisin. So it's a little bit strange to say b'masnisin. We're talking about the masnisin. So there's some change the girsa to read as it was defined in this brisa, because Rabbi Yehuda appears in the Mishnah. I don't need him to tell me halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. The point is this way of understanding Rabbi Yehuda l'kula, you know, that we'll always interpret it in a way that's favorable. That's the halacha. And you know what? Rav Ba Bar Zavda, quoting Rabbi Abohu, is a little unusual because Rabbi Abohu, Mamish, was a door after him. I mean, he was still alive, you know, but still, it's like a kid, you know what I mean? He's like, and he's quoting Rabbi Abohu, B'Shem Rabbi Lazar. So people said, you see what a onavi is. He calls Rabbi Ba Bar Zavda, people were mishabeach him. This is a mensch. What does he care? We're all friends in the job of Torah. We all love each other. I couldn't care less whether you're a little kid. So he quoted a little kid. So what? That is a tremendous mila. He doesn't stick there and wait for his honor. Now, there's actually a brisa that's very machmir with what Rabbi Yehuda said. And that is Tani Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra. Where, hey, Chavida, here in this bright, it says, so what do you mean when you say that he has another job, another income? What I say is that means, if the guy works all the time, and in Shemitah, he starts working with Peros Avera. So then only if he has Malacha Acheres is he kosher, because he's not concentrating on the Malacha Savera. It's the same thing that we had in that same Mishnah in Sanhedrin. We were talking about gamblers. So we said the gamblers also means he makes his living from gambling. That's the point. Not that sometimes he has a slot machine. So the same thing is true over here. But Im Lav, if he doesn't have any other work, so then he's puzzled. But if he didn't have work at all during the other 6 years, and all of a sudden comes along Shvius, and now he starts doing business, then even if he does have other work, he is going to be puzzled, because this guy is incredible. What a botlan. Basically, he's not interested in doing any serious work. At Vaharaya, he sits around playing cards all the time during the rest of the year. So now, all of a sudden, he's doing work. Now, how do you explain that? I'll tell you how I explain it. The guy's got a free income because he's taking parashvias and selling them. The only reason that he's making money with this other job is that people shouldn't call him puzzled. But he really would never work at all, right? He never works. Only reason why all of a sudden, together with his new found passion for business, that he opens up his Mifala Pious stand together with his Peira stand is because he's trying to cover over the fact that now is the first time that he's working for a living by stealing Peira Shvias. So then according to that, he would be puzzled. So this is Rebuta Mamish Lechumra. But I got to tell you, Lo Bida, this is not the case where Rabbi Babar Zavda and Rabbi Avo quotes Rabbi Avo B'Shem Rabbi Lezer Halachic Rebuta Masnissin, because that is Lechumra, and that is not where he said it. He only said, it's wonderful that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda where it was Lekula, and it wasn't in this case that we said, yes, what a mensch Rabbi Bavar Zavda is for quoting things from a kid. That this is not that case. Okay, fine. All right, gentlemen, we'll have to cut here, and in Birtz Hashem, next time we'll talk about some of the other Girsaot, of which there are quite a few, in understanding the sugya, but this actually works out very nicely with the Rash. Kol tov, everyone. I'm looking forward to a day in which we see the kiyum of the Teimani Haftarah of yesterday, right in front of our eyes, in which we see the kiyum of the Novi of Kol Lashon, Takumi Takla Mishpat Tashi, of which we see a kiyum of Yeshuas Hashem Keref Ayin, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshiach Amo, Bevarech et Nachlato, or Em Venas Em, Ad Olam, Ezrat Hashem, Kol Tov, everyone.